Welcome along to our talk this morning. I'm Ciarán and speaking to you from my home, but as our church, Emmanuel Church Dublin, gathers in this way, at least for the next while, we are turning our attention to the book of Philemon this week and next week. So you'll find that tucked in your Bible just before the book of Hebrews. And we're going to consider the first seven verses of that this morning. But as we gather, let's quiet ourselves a moment and let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for this new day. We thank you for your goodness to us in the gospel, how you have refreshed us in Christ. We pray, Father, as we gather today, that your word would enrich us, that we would know more of your grace and of your peace, that we would be refreshed by your Spirit, and Lord, that we would come to a deeper understanding of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. We thank you for our community. We thank you, Lord, for the way in which we can gather even while apart. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace to us. And so as we come together now in this way, we pray, Lord, for the blessing of your Spirit to be on us. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. And let's together say the Lord's Prayer. It's such a helpful way for us to center ourselves on the Lord and to pray Scripture, and again to prepare our hearts as we come to his word. So let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome along. Good to have you, Chris, with us also. And we're going to read the book of Philemon together. We're going to look at it this week, Lord willing, and next week. Today I'm using the ESV, the English Standard Version. It just helps with some of the phrasing in this book in particular. So that's what I'll be reading from. And I'm going to read the letter as a whole, but, well, it's not that long. And I'm going to think in particular about the first seven verses. Today we're going to think about what it means to live a refreshing faith. So let's read this book together. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's a lot of lockdown reflection going on at the moment. You will have observed lots of things that people are talking about that they're going to miss, actually. Some of the experiences that we have had during lockdown have proven to be refreshing, some of them. What do you think it is you're going to miss? One of the things that I will miss is our after sermon Zoom times, the times that we have gotten together after the talk part and come together on screen to talk about the sermon, to pray together, to see one another. That's one of the things I'm going to miss, because I have found that to be a really refreshing thing, a really life-giving thing. And it helps me appreciate what we have in our community, in Emmanuel, and I trust that it's been a refreshment to you as well. And it's something that I'm mindful that we need to cultivate and not take for granted, this sense in which we refresh one another. And this theme of refreshment is here in this little book of Philemon. It's the shortest, in fact, of all of the Apostle Paul's letters. And this theme of refreshment and seeking to refresh one another is something that the book resonates with. Take a look with me at verse 7, where Paul says, "For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." And then again across in verse 20, he says, "Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." And we're thinking today about what it means to live a refreshing faith. Now this man being written to Philemon, you see he's been written to there in verse 1, he hosts a house church in a place called Colossae. That's in present-day Turkey. And if you want to know a little bit more about what that church was like, go to the book of Colossians, which is written to the same church, and obviously it's a longer letter, and you can find out more about the context there in that book. So this short letter is going to that same household, and Philemon is described by Paul as a refreshing Christian. He says that of him in verse 7, "For you have refreshed the hearts of the saints." That's a great impression to leave with people and to have upon fellow Christians, isn't it? And Philemon was like that. He's proven to be a great encouragement to Paul, and Paul has a favour to ask of him. So he writes this short and deeply personal letter to Philemon about another man called Onesimus. Onesimus. Now that's a hard one to say, isn't it? You give it a go there. So for our benefit, we're going to call him Onesie for short. Okay, we'll call him Onesie. And Onesie is in fact a runaway slave from Philemon's household. And we meet him in verse 10, where Paul writes, "I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment." And he describes him, you'll notice, in verse 16 as a bond servant. A bond servant. Now that basically means a slave. At that time, a runaway slave could be executed for doing so if they were caught. And if you're aiding and abetting a fugitive, well, that could end pretty badly for you too. But there is so much more than the legal concern going on here. It's the matter of how Jesus changes everything interpersonally, how Jesus refreshes our thinking, our relationships in quite a profound way, and it seems that Onesie has come to know Jesus too. But we'll talk more about that next week. Now, a question already we may be asking ourselves is, well, if Philemon is such a refreshing man, why does he have slaves? Well, that's a fair question, isn't it? We have to think a little bit about slavery in this context at this time. It wasn't based on your colour or your so-called social class. Slaves were broadly represented across the board and made up anything of up to a third of the population at that time. And it wasn't only low-skilled work. So you could find yourself in a salt mine, or you could find yourself working in an architect's office. Some people even chose slavery, and you could buy your own way out at any time. And freedom from slavery wasn't necessarily the prized solution sought for in this context. It could actually make things worse for you in the absence of a welfare system. You could undo your security, actually, by being freed. So some who gained their freedom, actually, would have also gone back to where they were working before. So there are lots of differences, perhaps, than to the things that maybe come to our mind right away as we think about slavery in our context and in recent history. But still, we find it doesn't sit very well with us. And what is the Bible going to say about it? And where will the refreshment come in this scenario? And that's what this book of Philemon will help us with. Verse 1, it's Paul who's writing, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. He's writing from prison. It's likely that he's doing so from Rome. He's under a kind of house arrest there. And he describes himself as an old man and a prisoner. In verse 9 he says, "I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner." He's the one writing the letter. And He takes a very humble approach as he starts it. He says he's a prisoner. He doesn't go for the apostle term in this letter. And he's been very deliberate about that. The whole letter is very carefully and deliberately done. It's a masterly piece of communication. And he's very deliberate about saying he's an old man in prison. Why is he there? For Jesus Christ. For Christ Jesus in verse 1. And Paul has suffered much for Christ. He sacrificed his very freedom. And he sets that tone of the gospel as being the deciding factor in all circumstance. And if a man like that is asking something of you, wouldn't you find that compelling? Timothy, our brother, as he described, he's there too. He's a deeply valued co-worker. And he goes on to describe Philemon then as a similar beloved fellow worker. Philemon is a friend. And though Paul hasn't been to the church in Colossae in person, there is a bond between them, a bond that runs deep. They're in this work together. And Paul wants him to work out what the gospel has to say about this fugitive. You'll notice that Philemon is the main recipient of the letter, but he's not the only one. Verse 2, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Now that could be his direct family in verse 2, could be his wife and son maybe. He includes them, and more than that, the church that meets in their house. So clearly it was a big house that it could accommodate that. And the church met in his house. Now, some of my early years as a believer were spent in a house church setting. I have distinct memories of what some of those rooms looked like, and the living room, and the clocks on the wall. And I found it all very odd, yet very refreshing. It was accessible. You know, you could sit on a sofa. Maybe you're enjoying that right now. And you got fed lots of food. It was fantastic. But the idea of a church meeting in a house was, at the time, the most novel concept you could ever dream of. But it is, of course, something you find in the scriptures, and here it is before us. The church meets in Philemon's house, because the church is, of course, the people. You don't need a formal church building, but you can imagine that if the church met in their house, they would have all known each other fairly well, and the issues raised in one person's life is going to affect that in the life of another and would ripple through this little community. And Paul wants this letter to be read in the hearing of all. It's everybody's business. It's going to have principles for all of them, not just for Philemon and Onesie. The principles that Paul develops in the letter will have implications for everyone, principles that will apply beyond their specific issue, gospel principles. And the gospel refreshes all interpersonal relationships and your entire outlook. And so he says in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What greater refreshment is there than the grace and peace of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And it transforms everything. When we say grace and peace to one another, we're talking about the greatest refreshment of all, because we're talking about the gospel. And while it was a familiar way for Paul to write, it was a deeply profound way for him to write, because those two words encapsulate the refreshing truth of the gospel, and they have implications. They inform and change everything. They give us our identity. They redirect our affections, our purpose. And grace communicates the lavish, unmerited favor, the kindness and forgiveness shown to us in the cross of Christ. The cross shows us that we're all runaways, that we are slaves to our own sinful waywardness and deserving death, yet Jesus takes our place and we are free, truly free, the greatest and most refreshing freedom there is. Could we accept that ourselves and then deny that grace to others? Could Philemon? And grace instills a deep peace. Grace and peace. Peace, shalom is the idea. Means wholeness. A wholeness when our purpose, identity and experience is interwoven with the covenant-keeping Lord. Can we enjoy such peace and it not govern our action? Can Philemon? Grace and peace, writes Paul, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These refreshing truths are why we're all here. They tell us how the Lord has interacted with us and by implication, how we then ought to interact with one another. Now, Philemon has been refreshed himself by these gospel truths. He's refreshed others with them. And Paul is building a gospel argument to motivate him to act towards his runaway slave with this same grace and peace principle. We have a refreshing faith and we're called to extend that lived reality to others. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ have given us grace and peace at great cost to themselves, and we then, as fellow workers, fellow soldiers, are called to interact with each other in that same costly, refreshing way. And that is one of the great joys of being a part of Emmanuel, because we have a precious togetherness which is governed by the gospel, irrespective of our particular heritage or our career status. Some of us are architects, some of us are asylum seekers, we come from all around the world, we come together because of grace and peace, and we are called to live a refreshing faith. And much of what we do is, and praise God for it. You know, when we get together in our Zoom calls afterwards, I feel thankful for that reality. And it's encouraging for me to see each of you come on screen. I'm thankful for how the Lord has sustained us over this lockdown and how he has blessed us over the years. I'm thankful for how the gospel is at work with you, within you. Thankful for recent conversations on the racism issue and how the gospel has dominated your thinking. I'm being thankful for seeing you live that refreshing faith. And Paul is thankful for his friend and brother Philemon. Thankfulness governs his prayer. See verse 4. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. To live a refreshing faith is to give thanks for one another, and to give thanks for one another in prayer. We have much to give thanks for in Emmanuel, and much to remember one another in prayer for too. When we're meeting in person, I've often been moved by how you guys have led our prayers in our meetings. Hazel Bridcutt, over there in England at the moment, you've an awful habit of making me cry when you pray. And I've been really encouraged by that and by others of you. Because when you pray, the love and faith you have in Christ Jesus and your concern for others flows. And that's deeply refreshing. Paul appreciates that about this refreshing man, Philemon, in verse 5. He has appreciated his faith toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. Philemon is a loving, faithful man. He loves the Lord Jesus. He loves the saints. He lives a refreshing faith, and he has himself been refreshed by Jesus. And that too refreshes me about our community in Emmanuel. I've been told even just recently that some of you who have come to be part of our church in the last while chose to do so because of the sense of the love you felt about our community. That genuine gospel conviction, and that's a precious thing. Visitors who come to our church have said that it's like a little taste of heaven, and they have been refreshed by that. They see in our room people from all around the world, refreshed in and defined by the grace and peace of Jesus. A love for all the saints, and how blessed we are to have an international church. I love that. And it's a powerful witness to the racially fragmented world that we live in, that is in such dire need of gospel refreshment, as exemplified when they see us together in community. I'm encouraged by your love, by your faith in Jesus, by your love for one another. It's a refreshing thing, and let's cultivate that together going forward. One anothering, as Ken Ryan has been encouraging us to do. and we've all been encouraged by the courageous steps taken by Christ Church North Dublin, moving forward to make Jesus known. And Philemon lived these realities. His living, it has deeply blessed Paul, an old man in prison, an apostle for Jesus. So how can we pray for one another to live a refreshing faith? How can we be praying going forward for Christ Church North Dublin and those we're sending from Emmanuel to that? How can we pray for the work of the gospel in our hearts and in our land? Well, Paul helps us in verse 6 when he says, "And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." We live a refreshing faith by sharing our faith. When we share our faith, our understanding of Jesus deepens. You see how Paul puts it, that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. It refreshes us as well as refreshing those we share it with. It helps us all appreciate the good thing we have in the gospel. Paul prays for Philemon that the sharing of his faith will become effective. The effect being a fuller grasp of every good thing we have in Jesus. Paul is praying Philemon will be active in sharing his faith and that such activity will help him understand the gospel more, help him to put into practice all the implications of the gospel, all that the Lord has for him as an individual and for them as a church. Now, in this instance, he isn't first and foremost talking about evangelism. He's building an argument, rather, for how he wants this runaway onesie to be treated. He wants Philemon to live a refreshing faith, to work out the implications of the faith with this incident with his bondservant onesie. In the everyday, in other words, in his own household and in the household church. To live a refreshing faith is something to pray for, to ask the Lord to make effective. As we engage with one another in the context of faith, being deliberate to thrash out what Jesus is doing in our lives, one with another, sharing in that purposeful way helps us to gain a fuller and deeper understanding of what we have in Christ. One anothering, as Ken again mentioned. So let's not assume our common identity in Christ. Let's share it together. Let's talk about it with each other and work out what refreshing one another involves going forward. The more we share that, the more effective our faith becomes. The more refreshment we find. And the more refreshment we find, well, the more inclined we'll be then to share that with others who are not yet part of our community of faith, who have not yet heard about the grace and peace of the gospel. And specifically, I want to mention two things happening today and next week. Today at 4:30, the guys in Christ Church North Dublin are hosting a conversation with Jeremy Marshall, a man who has a terminal diagnosis of cancer, and his faith in Christ. There's still an opportunity for you to invite a friend along to that. That's happening today. Pray that that will be an effective experience for the sharing of the faith. And on Tuesday evening, we have another opportunity where the Questioning Faith series that we've been doing with our sister church, City Church, we're hosting an extra event, and I'm leading that one, thinking about the question of, do all roads, do all religions lead to God? Come along to that or invite a friend to that. But specifically pray that these occasions will be an answer to the types of prayer Paul mentioned here. That it will be the sharing of our faith happening in an effective way for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. So can you join us on those events? Can you invite a friend along? you might be surprised that they would come. As we step out like that, we gain a fuller understanding ourselves of the gospel. So pray for these events. Pray they will prove effective in that way. And not just the evangelistic events, but the outworking of our faith in each other's lives generally, that we would be a refreshment one to another. Look at how Paul talks about Philemon in verse 7. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brothers, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Isn't that a wonderful impression to have left on the Apostle Paul? Who are those people in your life? Who refreshes your faith? Who are the people that bring that sense of refreshment to your life and to a room? When we are on our Zoom calls, whenever Tesfaye and Abiot come on, they're always smiling and they lift everyone else in that Zoom call. They are refreshing people. I see that through David Martin. David, you're a refreshing person in the gospel. You do me good. You're a natural encourager. Who are those people in your life who are refreshing to you? I see Craig Dyer here has joined us. He's another refreshing guy in the gospel, making Jesus known. Thanks for joining us, and God bless you, Craig, and the work of Christianity Explored. You've landed on a very good verse for us in Philemon 6 and 7 today. Emmanuel itself, I think, is refreshing. It's refreshing to me. And Philemon is a refresher. He has brought great joy and comfort to an old gospel veteran like Paul, a prisoner. He's been an uplifting person. And not only for Paul, but for all the saints. He's lived a refreshing faith. And that refreshing faith has done a lot of people a lot of gospel good. He is a good and godly man. And that will be the grounds upon which Paul builds his argument as he tackles this issue with onesie. Now we're going to get into that next week. But thank the Lord for those who have refreshed us in the faith. And as you do so, ask yourself, where am I refreshing others? How can I refresh others in the faith? Where can I bring joy? Where can I bring comfort? Where can I bring encouragement, refreshment? Where can you contribute that kind of refreshment to your church, to our church, to your community? Now we'll get stuck into the main argument of the letter next week. But for now, let's hear the encouragement to live a refreshing faith. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you that Paul was still faithful to the gospel, an old man and in prison. How refreshing that is. Thank you that Philemon was a refreshing person, someone who refreshed the hearts of the saints, who did people good in the gospel, who brought joy to Paul, who brought comfort to him, who brought encouragement to him. Thank you, Lord, for that reality. And we pray that we would be those who live a refreshing faith and encourage one another in the faith. And may the implications of the gospel, its grace and peace, work its way out through our every decision, our every action, our thinking and interaction one with another. And we pray, Father, about the event today happening in Christ Church, North Dublin. We pray, Lord, that those who are not yet of faith and have said they would come would. We pray that what they hear would change their lives, that this will be the point that they see the fullness of the joy and refreshment of the gospel, and that they would turn from their sin Turn, Lord, from the lack of refreshment elsewhere and drink deeply from the gospel and its grace and peace. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, and we pray again that Tuesday night, as we think about this opportunity to talk about the uniqueness of the gospel, that that occasion also would be one in which people are struck by the truth of your word and refreshed in your truth. We pray, Father God, that in all of our endeavours, that the sharing of our faith would become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.